Isaiah chapter 42, in your Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 750, 750. We'll read this morning the first four verses of this chapter, and we'll read the verses responsively. Chapter 42, verses 1 through 4, the book of Isaiah. And may we please all stand for the reading of God's word. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the delight and joy of this day. It's a wonderful blessing to be here among so many who love thee. And so bless, we pray, those who love thee, those who know thee, that they may be further strengthened and helped in thee today. And help those who might be strangers, those who might be strangers not only to us but to thee, work in every life and every heart. Bless with power the preaching, and help us to hear carefully thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have some wonderful news for you this morning, and I want you to listen to it. It's wonderful, wonderful news. And that news is this. You can make beautiful music again. That's the title and my message this morning. You can make beautiful music again. Our Heavenly Father, cause a holy hush to fall over this place. And may the Spirit of the living God touch the lips of this preacher. And may that same Spirit touch the ear and the heart and the mind of the hearer. And meet thou with us for these next few minutes as we hear some wonderful, wonderful news. Amen. The shepherd boy would take a reed, a little kind of a weed or kind of a stick, there were thousands of them in every field. And the shepherd boy would take a reed and turn it into a little flute. Maybe something like this. And he would blow on that. Most all of the young people in the Holy Land in those days could make them. They were commonplace. And the shepherd boy plays it a while. And I wish I could make music. God has not given me the ability to play a horn. He did give me a beautiful singing voice. But none of us possesses all the talent. But he plays it while sweet music mingles with the sound of the gentle breeze and the murmur of the pine needles. And then, all of a sudden, something happens to the little reed. It's broken. And there it lays, splintered and riven and unable to sound. What does the shepherd boy do? You know what he does. He snaps it, throws it away. There are millions of others just like it. The fields are filled with those same little sticks from which he made that one little flute. He'll just get another and form another little flute to play. And he'll play on it. And then maybe he breaks it. What caused it to break? I'm not sure. Was it stepped on with the careless foot of a beast? Or was it dropped with a shepherd boy? Or was it bent by a fierce wind? Or was it cracked by the heat of the sun or the chill of the frost? I don't know. But the shepherd boy sees it broken. And what does he do? Fix it? No. Why fix it? There are always many more where that came from. He throws it away. And he plays on another. They call these the little reed flutes. And he plays on another. And sweet music joins the whistling of the pine and the howling of the gentle breeze as he plays again and cares for his sheep. And maybe that one breaks also. What does it do? Why keep it? It's not worth anything. Throw it away. There are always others. For all over the countryside, you find the same material these little flutes are made out of. This boy's made a dozen a day, maybe for a lifetime. Who knows? As a child, he was taught to make these little wind instruments. Then the material which they're made, they're everywhere. And maybe a beast steps on that one, and he throws it away. Why keep it? It's not good for anything. There are others, plenty of others. And hope they hold out for 30 minutes. Let's see. I better slow down just a little bit. But they're everywhere. So he makes another. And it's broken. Keep it as long as there are reeds available. Throw it away. And grab another. And he plays it. And maybe he gets tired of playing it. Maybe he just stomps it himself and throws it away. Well, there are plenty of others, I hope. For you see, the little flute is not bought in a music store. It's made by the hands of the shepherd boy from the reeds that grow all over the place. And again, another is broken. Or maybe he just gets tired of playing it. Maybe he just stomps it and kicks it away somewhere. Because all over the land, there are other little reeds. And then that one's broken. By the way, I'm talking to a heap of people this morning who once were like that. You once were a brand new. Yeah. 9 out of 10 is not bad. But there was a day when the master reached down and took dust. And from that dust he made you. And you yielded yourself to him. And then you were taken by the good shepherd from millions of creatures. In his hand you were fashioned to make music. In the process of time, you became bruised. I don't know what caused you bruised. Maybe the beast of sin trampled out your song. I don't know. Or maybe the howling winds of adversity bent you. I don't know. But your music was gone. Your song was gone. The lady said in the office of the day, she said, "Preacher, I can't sing anymore. I can't sing anymore. Song was gone." Or maybe the frost of a broken relationship has caused you to crack. What was it? Was it a sin that crept its way in your life like a writhing serpent? Was the relationship you had that was broken? Was it a tragic problem or burden that came? Was it the death of a child? Was it the ruin of a marriage? What was it? Was it something that came in your life that was not invited, but came uninvited, that took away your song, and you're like the broken reed of the shepherd boy? Now, what does the good shepherd do? What does the good shepherd do? Does the good shepherd say, I got plenty of people, I'll just get somebody else? No. Good shepherd discard his reed, his people that once made beautiful music? No, 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 no. Does he fling it away like the shepherd lad did? Oh, no, 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 no. He gently repairs the bruised reed. Here's what the good shepherd does. Could I have this mic, please? Turned up, please. Here's what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd says, every one of these little reeds is important to me. Every one of these reeds is important to me. Turn this down, please. It's got a whistle in it. Need your help. Everyone. Good shepherd doesn't do like the shepherd boy. Shepherd boy says, there are plenty more in the field. Good shepherd said, there are plenty more in the field, but I'm concerned about the one bruised reed. I'm not going to break it. It may get bruised. I'm not going to break it. And so the good shepherd just takes every little piece. And he says it may be broken by the events of life, or the howling winds of adversity, or the frost of a divorce, or the heartbreak of sin, or not listening to the advice of the man of God. And the good shepherd just picks them all up and says, they're all important to me. Not a broken piece that misses my attention. Not a single little piece, a fragment that doesn't cause my emotion to move with compassion. And so the good shepherd just picks up all the pieces and he just says, I love them all. I don't care how far they've gone. I love them, he says. I don't care how deep in the crevice they are, or how far into sin, or how heavy the heartbreak. I'm concerned, says the good shepherd, about every one. And so the good shepherd gets every piece and says, I want every piece back together. And the good shepherd starts to put them back together. And it may be they can't play like they used to play. It may be that they can't play like that one. It may be that ring is gone. But the good shepherd begins to put the pieces back together. And he says, maybe I can get some little sound out of it. And the broken person says, I can't play like I used to can. I used to play, but I can still play. And God can still use me. It's not the melodious sound of virginity, but it is a sound for Jesus. And the Lord puts it all back together. And God says, I want to use you again. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying the difference is the good shepherd. To him, every single reed. And I got news for you. You know, this reed right here is no more important to the shepherd than this one right here. I was talking to one of our little ladies, Brother John, grew up in our church. She became a mother. One of our precious girls. I pastored her since she was just that high. And she became a mother. Had two little girls. And one girl was not normal. Very retarded. And all of that sort of spastic-like. And so they came to my study one day. And she brought the girls. And the one little girl, young lady, was a nice, perfect little lady. Knew how to sit properly and say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. But the other little girl was sort of spastic like that and was retarded. And I said to the mother who grew up in our church, I'll call her Mary. That was our name. I said, Mary, do you ever think about putting this one in a home? And she sat up straight and she said, put her in a home? I love her.
Well, she said, this may come as a surprise to you, preacher, but I love that retarded one just as much as I love the one that's normal.
And I said, forgive me, I'm sorry. A few months later, she came back to see me, and she said, Pastor, did you know something? And I said, what is it? She said, my husband's left me for another woman, and he's divorcing me. She said, Brother Hiles, I want to have a happy home. And she said, now, I'm a divorcee. She said, Brother Hiles, does God still love me? And I said, do you still love your little daughter? That's not normal. And she jumped up and clapped her hands. And she said, I never saw it like that before. I never saw it like that before. I got news. God wants everybody to be like that. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, most of us aren't always like that. There are more broken reeds in this room than there are reeds that have not been bruised. There are more bruised lives, broken lives, and more pieces. And yet, the Lord God comes along and He says, every reed is important to me, says God.
I've got oodles of good ones out in the field. I've got plenty of them out there in the field. And they're important to me. But God says, these old broken ones over here, they're just as important to me as these good ones over here.
And this morning in this house, we have lives that have been clean and pure and never tasted the dregs of sin and never felt the chill winds of adversity and never felt the fangs and the venom of the serpent, and have our lives are like the beautiful, clean, pure, unwrinkled reeds. And God loves you! But let me serve notice on you today. If you're one of those broken reeds and everything hasn't worked out just right for you, and yours has not been the model life, and yours has not been the ideal setup, and sin and disease and heartbreak and heartache and death and mistakes and adversity have caused you to be broken and bruised, let me tell you today, God loves you just as much as God loves the reeds over here that are normal and the reeds that are perfect. Every reed's important. Not so to the shepherd boy, but so to the good shepherd. The widow, the shut-in, the bus kid, the deaf, the blind, the mission man, the Vietnamese, the illegitimate child, all important to God. Look at me. Look at me. I think I understand that. I'm pastor of thousands of people. There are hundreds and thousands of folks in this room who call me preacher whose hands I've never shaken, and that grieves me. Because of the bigness of the church. But I want to serve notice on you this morning. There's not an unimportant person in the membership of this church. Not one. Not one. I got a letter this morning. One of our good men, been 9 years. He came to Hiles Anderson College. He and his wife and lovely family came. And his was not the valedictorian award. And his was not the honors at graduation. It was a struggle. He was a middle-aged man. He did not have the talent of others, nor the extroverted personality, but toil and labor. And his family, 9 years, the family pretty well grew up in a church in 9 years. And his family pretty well grew up, and I had the counsel when they had needs. And the children had problems, and they came to me. And when they made a few mistakes, they came to me. And finally, he's now been called to be an assistant pastor of a church. He wrote me a letter this morning and said, Dear preacher, he said, Dr. Bill Rice used to call you Solomon. He said, I know why now. He said, for 9 years, we've been members of your church, and now we leave. We never lose one I like to lose. Many a time, some college couple will be leaving after being here 4 years. They'll come to my study after service, and I'll tell them goodbye, and I'll compose myself, and then shut the door, and then I'll weep. Why? Because not a single little bus kid that rode a bus this morning is unimportant to this preacher. I have a letter in my this morning I got from a group that says to Brother Hiles and the church staff, we want, this is from our students at Tennessee Temple College, the ones that couldn't pass the entrance exam at Hiles Anderson. Said, Dear Brother Hiles, we want you to know that we will be taking some time each day to pray for you during the busy week of pastor school. We love you and are very proud of you. We're grateful for the opportunity to represent you as we're in Chattanooga. You're the greatest love, your kids at Tennessee Temple. And then all the names are here. I'm trying to say that these kids know they're important to me. Now, if I, with my finite mind and my limited comprehension and my busy schedule and my inability to be omnipresent, then if I, a frail creature of dust, if everybody in this church is important to me, doesn't matter how deep in sin you've gone, you're mine. I love you and you're important to me. Imagine how the Heavenly Father must take care of every one of us. And imagine how important. But you say, preacher, I'm a bruised reed. He's not going to break you. Now, we'll break you. Hey, boy, we'll knock you down and stomp you. We don't find you perfect, but not the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father says, come unto me, and I'll put you back together again. I'll get all the pieces I can, put it back together. I may have to use some glue, and you may not be as make as pretty a music as you did before. But he said, every reed, broken reed, I'm not going to bruise it, he said. I'll piece it back together again. God loves bruised reeds. We don't. We despise them. God loves them. We loathe them. God loves them. We criticize them. God loves them. We discard them. God loves them. We fling them away. God loves them. We avoid them. God loves them. And by the way, God can repair them too. God can repair them. How many times do I think and sing, dear Lord, take up the tangled strand that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hand some beauty may remain. Oh, God walks up and down these pews this morning, and you say, preacher, a fellow said today to me, I said, how you do it? He said, fine. But he said, sometimes I don't want to live. I said, why? He said, sometimes I want to commit suicide, and I don't want to live. That's always the way the devil leads you. His life been broken. And now, gently, I'm trying to piece his life together. And I can't do it like the Lord can do it. But I'm trying to pick up all the pieces I can. The boy grew up in our church. He's one of our kids in the junior department, one of our kids in the primary department. He went to our high school, but didn't listen to the preacher. Went out into sin and all kinds of sin. And I'm trying to pick up the pieces and put those pieces back together as best I can. I can't do it, but I can tell you somebody who can do it. He knows every piece. He knows how to piece it all back together. And though it will not play as it once played, bless God, it can play. And I had rather play a little whistle for Jesus than to sing in the symphony, coloratura soprano for the devil. God says, let me have your pieces. But you say, I'm not what I used to be. God says, let me have your pieces. But you say, I don't deserve it. God says, let me have your pieces. But you say, I'm broken. God said, let me have your pieces. I'll make something useful out of your life again. A bruised reed he will not break, the Bible says. He won't break it. No way he will. And God can use them again. Last Sunday morning, a sweet thing happened. Several years ago, I guess, or months ago, how long? A little baby was born at one of our members. And they said the baby would never walk. And the mother and the family brought the baby in. I anointed the baby with oil and prayed for it. And last Sunday morning, they brought that little child in. Several years old now. They brought the little child. And the mother said, Brother Hiles, remember, one day we brought a little baby in, and the doctor said she'd never walk. I said, yes. Remember how you anointed the baby with oil and prayed? I said, yes. She said, let me show you something. And she put that little child over here. And the child stood up and wobbled a bit. And with the help of a brace or two, the little child began to walk toward me. And the mother was laughing. And I was crying and laughing. And asked a question. Don't you think that mother got more joy out of that than she did her normal child that ran and played last Sunday morning? And don't you think sometimes the Heavenly Father puts pieces, he picks up pieces here of an old broken, a broken bruised reed, and God picks it up, and God says, let's see if I can make some music out of that again. And so, and God says, it's not as pretty as it was, but it's prettier to me than a symphony orchestra. Why? Because it's one of my own who was bruised. I'm not going to break it, God said. I'm going to mend it, and I'll use it again. And then, I've told you, In one of my books, there's illustrations there. I was over here in Hessville, part of East Hammond, making a visit one day. I knocked on the door of an unsaved man. I went into Christ later, he came to the door. He's unsaved. And I looked. I said, "I'm Brother Heil." He said, "Brother Heil, am I glad to see you?" Well, that's not the normal response that I get. And I said, "Thank you." He said, Hey, I got something I want to show you, Brother Hiles." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I got a new car." Boy, I love new cars. I love to smell new cars and new Bibles. I get to smell new Bibles, never smell a new car. But I love the smell of a new car. And he said, I said, "Where is it?" He said, "Come around the side of the house. It's back in the back." And boy, I got ready to see a new car. I walked around and I said, "Boy, that's something." There was a beautiful 98 Oldsmobile sitting there just outside the garage in the driveway. Good night. And that's back in the days when 98 Oldsmobiles were 98. They're about 38 now. But big, long 98 Olds. And I said, "Boy, that's something." He said, "That ain't the one. That ain't the one." And I said, "Man." He said, "No." He said, "Let me show you the real beaut." He took me back in the back and he showed me an old rattle trap. It was the most dilapidated excuse for a car I've ever seen in my life. Had four doors, none of them matched the other doors. I mean, nothing matched, like John Colston's clothes. I mean, nothing went with anything. And he said to me, And no two fenders were alike. And it wasn't painted. And he said, "Boy, ain't that something?" Well, that I could agree with. And I said, "Boy, that's something. That is a car." And I said, he said, "Watch me drive it." He got in that old thing and turned the motor on. Looked like a fire wagon or a fire on, building on fire. You couldn't see the car for the smoke and then died. He said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Sir, I don't understand." And then a big old smile came across his face and he said, "Preacher, I know you don't understand." He said, "That's a pretty car out there. That's only drive." But he said, "This one is my favorite car I've ever owned." He said, "You know why?" And I said, "Why?" He said, "I made it myself." He said, I got parts out of every old junk place in town. I went down to junkyard after junkyard and I got some pistons here and a carburetor here and I got tires here and wheels here and doors here and axles there. He said, "Preacher, every piece in that car, I put it together from junk." And that's exactly what God did to me and to most of us. Most of us are not big Rolls Royces or Cadillacs or 98 Olds. Most of us are just old jalopies put together by the grace of God. As he looked and he saw bruised reeds and he said, "I'm not going to trample that bruised reed. But Lord, you got millions of others. I don't care. There's not one little broken reed in the field unimportant to me." And God reaches down and takes that little bruised reed and puts it back together and makes it make music again. God can let you make music again. And I'm trying to tell you, I'm not giving up on any of you. I don't care if you are broken. You still belong to me. I don't care if your life's been torn with the tempter and the howling winds of adversity have come and broken your heart. I don't care. You're still mine. I'm not going to kick you out. You know, some churches are more concerned about voting out the bruised reeds than they are putting back together the bruised reeds. I'm interested in getting you back together. Ask a question this morning. Has your music gone out? Has your song left? Has the recession bruised your reed? Has cancer bruised your reed? Has sin bruised your reed? Do you feel that you'll never sing again? I know somebody that won't break a bruised reed. Look at me a few minutes. Is this you? Is this you? Still make a noise? Huh? Broken? Or? Is this you? value stuff enough to play in the hands of the master? Remember the song in your heart? Remember how you used to walk down the street singing, "Every day with Jesus"? Sing it. "Is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." Remember? Remember how the sun was brighter than it ever was? Remember how you couldn't wait to get in the Bible and you couldn't wait to get on your knees in the prayer closet? Remember how happy you were? Remember? Remember how you used to sing? Oh, sing it. "How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Remember that? Remember? And the song was there. But do you remember the time the tempter came? Huh? Remember the time the bitterness came? Remember the time a broken relationship came? And all of a sudden, remember how people tried to stomp you? Huh? Remember how folks looked down on you? Wouldn't give you a chance? Let me tell you what the Heavenly Father wants to do right now. I mean, this very minute. Watch me. This is what He wants to do. Now, that's not as pretty as it was, but it sure does sound pretty to Jesus. And He wants to take that old broken reed today and make it usable in the service of our Savior. Do you have a broken reed this morning? Huh? I don't care who you are. Sin never makes you happy. I look around this audience this morning. I see folks whose faces are sober. Can't wait until the service is over. Can't wait to get out. You know why? Because you've got to get out and find something else to make you happy for a few minutes again. But I can show you something to make you happy forever. And that is when you place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. And once again, the Master takes you. And you make some music for Him. Why don't you give yourself to Him this morning? Listen, nobody else cares for you. Tavern keeper will break bruised reeds. Liquor traffic will break bruised reeds. Disco crowd breaks bruised reeds. Let those pretty gals that dance in the disco get 65 and see if they still want to dance. Yeah. Yeah. Let the athlete, professional athlete, let him get 45 and 50 and see if they still want to pitch. But blessed be God, you come to Christ and put yourself in His hands. And I'll guarantee you there won't be a day in your life, whether you can see or blind, or here, or deaf, or normal, or retarded, or young, or old, or lame, or crippled. He'll still love you. And He'll still give you music. I say, you can make beautiful music again. Father, bless them.